Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Still in the afterglow, basking in that badness of the Seahawks yesterday.
Yeah, great game.
Oh, yeah. Big win. Big, big win. 5-5. 5-5, baby. Now on to Carolina. Show them just who the boss is. Steve, do you remember that couple from New Jersey that went viral last year with that GoFundMe campaign to help out a homeless vet?
Yes, I absolutely do. I remember us talking about it and just being like, that's pretty cool. Because the whole backstory was the lady was too scared, or she went to go get gas. It was a sketchy area. Homeless guy's like, hey, don't get out of your car. Give me the money. I'll go take care of your gas. And she did. And then she came back and like gave him a bunch of money after the fact. And everyone was like, this is such a cool story that he was looking out for her best interest. And then they looked out for his best interest. And yeah, the whole world rejoiced.
Everybody was right. Actually, they didn't know how right they were. It really was a cool story, because that's all it was a story. Turns out the whole thing, a giant scam, which is now, this is why I'm as cynical as I am when things are too good to be true and people just want the feel-good story to make themselves feel good. It's like, you know what? No. Now, here's what happened. Like Steve said, she ran out of gas in Philly. This homeless guy named Johnny apparently walked to the gas station, used his last $20 to help her out. Kate and her husband then sent up a GoFundMe page to thank him. It wound up raising $400,000. They were even featured on Good Morning America when the story came out.
I was driving down 95 and ran out of gas. So I pulled over to the side of the road. He walked up and he said, get back in the car, lock the doors, you know, I'll be back.
Gas to help her get back on her way. Wasn't expecting anything in return.
Me and my boyfriend Mark went back the next day. He gave him $100.
I was ecstatic.
How often would you go to see Johnny?
A few times a week. What if we started a GoFundMe for this guy? We set it up in the car on the way home.
It's like winning the lottery. I mean, of course, you know, I want to change my life. I want to give a lot of it away.
Will you get a house?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get a place to live. There won't be no brand new car either.
No?
No, ma'am.
Used car?
Absolutely.
Maybe a truck?
Absolutely a truck.
So, you know, you hear that story. I mean, they do sound like really, really likable, nice people, and it's all a scam.
It's an incredible scam. I mean, really,
You're right, Steve.
I mean, pretty well thought out, although they didn't execute it fully that well, because apparently she was very free to share that information with her mom about how, like, you know, the part with the gas station wasn't true. Don't freak out. I wasn't in a bad neighborhood. Like, they didn't keep it to themselves.
Yeah, and the way they spent their money, if you watch Ozarks, okay, you know what? You know, Jason Bateman tells you exactly what to do when you get a large bunch of cash.
Oh, yeah.
You know, otherwise you're going to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
And
take it to the strip club.
Yes, what you gotta do, go to the blank bar, as they in that fight show.
And the dude is legitimately homeless, so they did this whole scam with a homeless guy that they knew.
That's what's so amazing is, you're right, Steve, he was homeless. They met him outside a casino, and that's when they all hatched this plan to basically make the homeless guy look like a hero. And how about this? I don't know how much the homeless guy got out of this, because they spent all the GoFundMe money, the over $400,000. They spent it on trips and gambling, which, of course, eventually someone's going to figure this out.
Yeah, I'm reading about it. It said like $20,000 on this, BMW, $5,000 on that, Disney World, other trips, $10,000 in bags. They went to Vegas. They gambled a bunch of the money away, and the homeless guy says he only received about $75,000 only, but that, which probably pissed him off because he's seen that they're getting the rest of that money.
Yeah.
And that's probably another factor that led to this all falling apart. If you're going to do this scam, you got to split it three ways.
You have to split it three ways. highways, no honor among thieves. And I would argue, if I was the homeless guy, you guys are a couple, so we're splitting it 50-50. Maybe 60-40 you could convince me, because they're all living together, so they're getting to have the benefit. Like, she gets to, come on.
Helicopter flight over the Grand Canyon.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Talk about extravagant. That does sound like fun. I'm with you, Rev. But if you're trying to hide the fact that you gave all this money to this homeless guy and you didn't,
oh yeah,
going on a helicopter trip isn't helping your cause.
Yeah, and this is what I love about stupid people, because you got to be thinking that when you go national and you raise that amount of money, somebody is going to pay attention. Because again, like I learned on the show Ozark, I mean, it's a great educational show. They go through the whole process. Of if you got a large bunch of cash and it's ill-gotten, you have basically all you can do is buy groceries for the rest of your life. Because of the way the government and the IRS set everything up, if you do anything much more extravagant than that, they will be able to trace it, which makes me feel good as an American, because so you got to launder that money, basically. These people needed to launder that money if they wanted to live high on the hog.
Unreal.
Yeah, and they got caught. Wow, here's the prosecutor explaining how this all went down.
The paying it forward story that drove this fundraiser might seem too good to be true. Unfortunately, it was. The entire campaign was predicated on a lie. Less than an hour after their GoFundMe page went live, McClure, in a text exchange with a friend, stated that the story about Bobbitt assisting her was fake. Specifically, she wrote, "Okay, so wait, the gas part is completely made up, but the guy isn't. I had to make something up to make people feel bad. So shush about the made-up stuff." She did not run out of gas on an I-95 off-ramp, and he did not spend his last $20 to help her. Rather, D'Amico, McClure, and Bobbitt conspired to pass off a fake, feel-good story that would compel donors to contribute to their cause. And it worked, in a very big way, but it was fictitious and illegal, and there are consequences.
Did I hear the last name was Bobbitt?
Yeah, Johnny Bobbitt.
Another Bobbitt.
And his first name is John.
Wow.
Yeah, the homeless guy's name is Johnny Bobbitt.
Wow, Johnny.
Johnny Bobbitt.
It's not the same guy.
No.
Because, I mean, once you get your package cut off, I can see how you might, go have a spiral down. Then maybe you're down on your luck.
And I'm sure John Wayne Bobbitt doesn't need the money, because he probably made a lot of money off of Frankenpenis.
Oh, Frankenpenis.
The film that he was in.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course you know that.
That was a classic.
Thank you, Rev.
Wow. And she texted about it. I mean, talk about leaving breadcrumbs. I mean, come on. You're in a $400,000 scam. You don't text anybody telling everybody, "Hey, look me, I did a $400,000 scam." Jeez, you're just making it easy for everybody.
One friend even said, you need to get rid of Bobbitt and get the public off your back by donating. He could out you. And then the woman says, "I'll be keeping the rest of the money. F you very much."
Wow. She's just a genius.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't want to piss off the people that are aware of this, because then they have this ammunition.
Yeah.
So this lady's probably like, "Yeah, I'll show you the text. Here's the text where she told me to F me very much."
I know. She just, boy, you know what? I don't know who the husband was, but you know what? He should have been the brains of the operation, because his wife was just a genius.
I don't know. He doesn't look too smart either.
I'm trying to figure out which one's the homeless guy.
That one.
Oh, the one that looks like BJ.
I was going to say, he looks so much like BJ.
I thought the guy in the middle was the homeless guy, though. He looks, actually, the guy on the left looks a little bit more put together than the guy in the middle.
He's shaved since he stopped being homeless.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. The guy in the middle, based on the mugshots, I would assume if I was going to have to pick which one's the homeless guy, be the guy in the middle.
But you're right, dude. The guy on the left looks like he's got a lot of problems, and he looks just like me.
I know. Danny, have you seen this? Show Danny.
Left guy.
There are two serial killers. Of course, we know one of them. Gary Ridgway is one, and there was also another one in, I think, Switzerland or Sweden or something like that, and he looks just like me, too. Why do all the crazy people look like me? It's really not... I don't like this.
Maybe you guys are all clones, and it's just this weird sci-fi thing going on.
It's a genetic thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I mean, I'm adopted. I could be related to these guys.
Oh.
That's not good.
Sweet.
We've also never seen BJ and them in the same room at the same time.
True.
So just about. Saying.
You know what, Danny?
What?
You don't need to bring that up. Okay.
Oh. So you are Johnny Bobbitt.
I'm Johnny Bobbitt. Jeez. Unbelievable. It just goes to show you there are morons out there. I mean, they pull off an amazing thing and they're still stupid. Yeah, but see, I'll tell you, here's the thing. They're not smart, Steve. You think they're smart. I think it's us. We're stupid. We're so wanting to have a sob story to believe in because you see how dumb these people are.
Right.
They wouldn't have been able to pull it off if we were savvy and if we weren't just looking for the Hallmark Channel relief that a lot of us look for.
Well,
and
yeah. I get a lot of people like to donate because it makes them feel good. And I'm sure a lot of people felt good sending $50 to this guy because he did something awesome. And now it turns out he didn't do anything awesome.
See, and I'm a very savvy person. And my wife and I have these fights all the time because she's like, oh, that's so nice. We should. No, we're not going to do that, honey. We're going to vet the situation. I'm not going to just give money to anybody because they're so nice. Because of situations like this, you got to be smart.
And then you got the text that said, I don't blame people. These idiots are why I don't give money to anyone. I don't trust anyone. Another person, this is why I don't give money to GoFundMe. It's crap.
You know, I'll tell you, the GoFundMes, the crowdsourcing, you know, the bad apples do ruin it. The wild, wild west, and that's what it is. I mean, I love Kickstarter for the most part, but Rev and I both know we've been burned a couple of times. And
yeah.
I still use it, but God, it sucks the wild, wild west nature because every once in a while you'll have a douche waffle.
Well, and I think about it, even like with our band, we did the Kickstarter thing because
you're the guys I was talking about. I was right. I was trying to be big about it.
And you're not. You know, I brought your stuff in today, and I'm not even going to give it to you now.
Damn!
You are not. Greg, you want some free stuff?
Yeah.
Always. Well, I mean, like, we almost didn't want to do it because of the stigma that these things have now because of people that are scamming people. Like, we don't want to make people feel like they're being scammed, so we try to keep it bare minimum. Like, all we're asking for you to do is to pre-order the record. If you want to buy a shirt and a record, great, but just pre-order the record. We're not giving you, like, false hope of this, that, and the other thing. If you fund this new video game or this new board game, and then the person just gets all this money, like, wow, this is a lot of money. I should just keep it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're not dressed. Remember, you were supposed to dress in a ballet outfit and deliver the product to me. That was I got that tier of the Kickstarter.
Just make sure you answer your door at 11 o'clock tonight, BJ, and you'll get what you want.
Finally!
Dude, I'm looking at one of the pictures of about the GoFundMe scammers, and I don't know why, but they picked the best picture ever in the New York Post. They're all wearing onesies, the homeless guy and the couple and then their dog.
Wow, they really...
Aww. They really bonded.
They really adopted this guy.
Dude, they made $400,000 off this guy. I would let him live with me.
Yeah, you're right. They were stupid not cutting that guy in for more.
Right.
Yeah.
You can live in our basement.
There's no way he's going to... Yeah, he's not going to understand that he shouldn't get more than that. Yep. Yep. There's no honor among thieves, everybody. How about that? Happy feel-good story of the year. Scam.
And what were they hoping? I think they got like $10,000. So do you think like if they made the $10,000, nobody would have ever talked about this story? You know what I mean? They would have made the money.
You're right.
They probably wouldn't have spent it on things that were very obvious. They could have figured that all out. But then all of a sudden, they didn't think that people would be that charitable. And next thing you know, you got almost $500,000.
Yeah, if you talk to law enforcement, and a lot of folks have this frustration, you know, if it's small-time crime, or if just watch the Trailer Park Boys, and Julian will tell you all about the kind of crime you can and can't get prosecuted for.
He knows everything.
He does. And the idea is that these guys were on TV. They raised six figures. You are going to all of a sudden get attention. But like you said, Steve, $10,000, it would be hard to get anybody to spend. To spend the money to prosecute a case costs a lot more than $10,000. So they probably would have been like, whatever. But yeah, $400,000. Yeah, people are gonna notice.
We got more to the conspiracy that you and Johnny Bobbitt might be the same person.
Why is this now? Come on,
we're not. Texter says they have the same initials, BJ and JB.
Oh, I really thought I was clever. I thought nobody would pick that up. What's the name of the texter? What's their number, Steve? I'd like to.
I lost the text.
I'd like to have a press.
Now I get why you've been buying us breakfast these last couple of days.
That's right.
And you would have gotten away with it if it weren't for the meddling texters.
That's right.
You texters, jinkies.
Okay. I have a question for you, you meddling detectives, you. What happens when someone goes on social media to complain about people already putting up their Christmas decorations? Yeah, you know what happens. Another edition of Facebook Drama. You're going to hear it at 8:17.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Now, it's time for Facebook Drama!
And Facebook drama is brought to you by Car Toys. BJ, this is our opportunity to point out the idiots that are on Facebook. This is an actual Facebook post. The drama unfolds because of it, and of course, we're going to act it out. So this time around, Rev, you'll be the original poster. You will be Steven.
Sweet.
All right, Vicky, you'll be Kevin.
Yay!
BJ, you are Sandy.
Quick question.
Yes.
Sandy a guy or a girl?
It's a gal.
Oh, perfect.
Maybe Sandy with an I and a heart above it.
Oh, yes, that's my motivation.
Sarah, you'll be Julie.
Oh, hey.
Danny, you are Rachel.
Hooray!
And I'll play the role of Max.
Oh, all right. I thought you'd be Ross. All right, fine.
Rev, you're Steven, the original poster. Please take it away.
People who have their Christmas trees up before Thanksgiving should not be allowed to live. Hashtag just saying.
Well, that escalated quickly, but I agree. Give Thanksgiving some love, too, before going all Christmassy on everyone's ass. Hashtag turkeys need love, too.
But Thanksgiving sucks, so why even bother with it? Christmas all the way!
Who ruined you? Stop talking nonsense. Thanksgiving is the best holiday ever!
No one ruined me. All you do all day long is eat real crappy food that you could have any other day in the year, but you don't because it tastes like ass.
Who is this Sandy girl? And who is friends with her because she is talking crazy? Hashtag unfriend her now.
When is the last time you ate gravy? Cranberry sauce? Yams with mashed potatoes on top? Let me guess. Last Thanksgiving! That's what I thought, because the food is garbage!
Steven is right. Someone did ruin you.
Don't get me wrong. I love Turkey Day, but Sandy does have a point.
Rachel, you're just saying that because you're trying to get into Sandy's pants. We all have come to the conclusion that Sandy was ruined a long time ago.
I want to watch Rachel get into Sandy's pants for Thanksgiving.
Oh, Max, you are just like cranberry sauce. Gross! And who are you? Have fun eating your nasty foods while I'm over here stuffing my face with pizza! Hashtag pizza over turkey any day!
Well, we now know this actually was Danny's Facebook drama since pizza was brought up. Danny, Danny is Sandy.
I thought Sarah was Sandy.
Oh,
I know.
It's 5-year-old Sarah right there.
I know, right?
Sarah had a Facebook at 5.
Thanksgiving food sucks.
Yeah, that does sound like Sarah.
It really does.
You don't even like the veggies and the mashed potatoes?
No.
Potatoes are fantastic.
I can have veggies any day.
What about the yams with the marshmallows on top?
I love those. I never heard of that until last year, and my friend brought it to a Friendsgiving we had.
It's fantastic.
No, it's not. I love sweet potatoes. Wow.
Here it goes.
Yeah. Oh, this has never happened to me before.
I taught you well, young Padawan.
I'm gonna sit back down.
Thank you.
Listen, daughter, will you please?
I want to give her crap, but freaking Chris doesn't like Thanksgiving food either.
What?
Chris doesn't here. Either.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, you can hit Chris. Chris
he just
doesn't
got
like
so
him
much
here.
Cooler.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No. Do you? Okay. Honestly, though, this Sandy chick. Do you have that stuff any other day of the year? When you could.
No,
you
you're
do?
Absolutely right. I never have any of the stuff that we have on Thanksgiving. For the most part, maybe a couple dishes here and there, but for the most part, no. But that's what makes Thanksgiving so awesome. It's the one time of the year where we have all this stuff.
It makes it special.
See, I'm the exact opposite because there's a place in California called Mendocino Farms, and they serve a Thanksgiving sandwich. Every time I'm down there, I get it. It's just a great piece of awesome.
I wouldn't turn it down.
Oh, it's so good. It is so good.
But like every time you get like a pizza, you're just so excited, and it always tastes so good, right?
I'm not going to fight with you about whether pizza tastes good. Of course it does.
And arguably, no, I would agree. Pizza is more delicious than turkey.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And like the gravy and the cranberry sauce.
Oh,
and like,
no, that's good too.
A little variety is okay.
And Uncle Chris, no?
Vicky, do you know somebody else named Uncle Chris?
You were saying the other day you don't like Thanksgiving food because you were agreeing with Sarah.
Uncle Chris just likes to agree with people. That's just all it is.
Yeah.
So I don't bitch him.
Because I said you two are the only ones that don't like Thanksgiving food.
Okay.
I think he was just trying to kiss Sarah's ass.
Or either that, you're losing your mind, Vicky.
He does agree with me a lot to shut me up. He really does.
Oh, that could have been.
That might have been what happened.
Good call, Chris.
I apologize. I didn't mean to imply at all that I don't like Thanksgiving food. Thanksgiving is literally my second favorite holiday of the year.
What's your first?
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah, he likes to drink. He likes to drink a lot.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's got iodine in his blood. Of course he does.
I don't think anything comes close to Thanksgiving. It's the best holiday of the year.
What? Christmas, you get so many gifts, though. You get all the presents.
See, I don't care about gifts.
Oh, I do.
But really?
I mean, gifts are fun. Don't get me wrong. Gifts are fun, but I'd much rather Thanksgiving, you got football going on.
Yes.
You got all that food. It's the one time of the year where I can completely go for third on plates. Yeah.
No, I feel like Christmas, you can get any food you want, anything you would want, because you don't have to have the turkey crap, and you get gifts.
And I also like the vibe that we're actually all getting together, not to just be excessive with our food, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not trying to one-up each other with gifts or, you know, the day is not clouded with gifts. It's just about family or friends and just getting together and enjoying a good meal.
It's just all something about beautiful.
See, they're all great.
That's basically runs my life.
It's like you're basically asking me to like fight over my children. You know what I mean? Like you love them both. It's like
clear you like Sarah Moore.
Sorry, Joey.
Kind of no.
Not right now.
I mean, no. Yes, you're a wonderful child. Anyway, so
excuse me. Now I know why Chris agrees with everything she says.
You know, I'll tell you, it's funny because you know, well, all the therapy I've done, I've gone back therapeutically to realize why I like Christmas more than Thanksgiving.
Why is that?
And it's because it was Santa? The only time of the year that my dad was happy. In my brain, I have no idea if he wasn't happy. But as a little child, I just, you know, sitting on that couch with the therapist. Well, we go to Christmas, and then finally we get down. Well, my father was happy, and they're like, "Wasn't your father happy other times of the year?" And I'm like, "I don't remember. I mean, he probably was, but I don't remember."
Interesting.
And it was the only time my mother actually had a fight, and I'll never, you know, my mother was awesome. Like for the whole rest of the year, my mom was amazing. I got along with her much better than I did with my father as a kid. But the one time that my mother turned on me, as far as I was concerned, she became public enemy number one. And spoiler alert, if you've got any fine children listening to this show, maybe you should, well, put them in front of Barney or Dora or whoever the hell's in charge these days of kids being in front of the TV. My mother just decided to have a bulletin about how we were spending too much money on Christmas presents and decided to let everybody know here's the true magic of Christmas.
Was she getting jealous that Santa was getting all the credit and she wasn't getting any?
Maybe, or maybe she was in charge of the bills, and my dad, because he was super happy that time of year, didn't care. My dad worked his ass off in a sugar refinery, and this time of year, my dad was a hard ass about a lot of things, but he wanted kids to have fun. He was like, his attitude was this: do you know once you turn 18, you're pretty much an adult, no more fun? That was his attitude. So he's like, I am not having my kids have to not have fun. They're going to have to do it when they're 18. Let them have fun now. And so that was when my dad was a champion of fun. And my mother was like, oh my God, because he would go all out for Christmas. He loved that holiday.
Yeah.
And it was the only time where he and I weren't fighting as a child because we had nothing in common. And yet that time of year, we had that in common. It was the only time he and I broke down.
See, my house, my dad, I think he hated Christmas. I mean, I know I liked it. He'd try like, yeah, this is cool. My kids are happy. But he'd just sit there and realize that all of us are opening all of our gifts. He's getting no credit for it, even though he's the one who had to bust his ass. And you know what I mean? That's how I'm thinking, looking back on it. He probably felt very underappreciated. And then it finally comes time for dad to get a gift. And it was straight out of a movie. The most stereotypical gift for a father.
Oh, tie.
Yep.
There
bam.
You go.
I was going to say there's one or two socks or ties.
He got the tie.
He got a tie every year.
Oh, that's horrible.
Every damn year. Sometimes two. If we were like, you know, big spenders, my brother and I. I mean, yeah, he wore a tie every day to his job. But I mean, think about that.
See, dude, this is where the game has been upped because my kids know what I love. And you found out later in life that your dad was a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
If it were today, you and your brother would be getting him Trek stuff. Like, it wouldn't be tie anymore. We have upped the game for parent presents. You're right. Because for parents, the presents always sucked back in my father and mother's day.
They get no credit and nothing. They get crappy gifts.
You're right. But now, I mean, I think parents are getting treated just as well during Christmas. If anything, I remember when the kids were little, Kathy and I would get each other really awesome things, Sarah, go give your dad this. You know, Joey, go give your mom this. And of course, the kids didn't know what the hell they were doing. But when the kids saw how happy the parents were, you know, Sarah's like, wow, this is awesome. I thought the headless Barbie I gave you was going to be a great gift, but this you really love.
That was a great gift, okay?
Yeah. So that makes sense. Well, I remember when I got my dad, we didn't get to go visit a lot for like the holidays when I moved out here, but I remember going there and I got him one of those flip cameras. Back when the flip cameras were all the rage,
oh, yeah.
$99 little mini recorders, that were like not that long ago before. before cell phones could do everything they did, but better. And so I got him one of those. And man, my dad didn't cry, but his eyes got welled up. And now looking back, I'm like, he probably had that moment where he's like, my son finally got me something that wasn't cheap, wasn't a tie, and it actually was thought out.
Yeah.
And he's just like, this is awesome. I'm finally getting something I want.
Yeah.
And that's, then he lost it. Next time I saw him, I'm like, hey, how's that camera thing? He's like, I don't know where I put it.
And now you're like, I'm so underappreciated. Nobody appreciates anything I get, though.
It was 100 hard-earned dollars, Father.
Oh, that's awesome.
See, my family is very difficult during the holidays because at least some families do the list and everything. I'm like, Mom, Dad, is there anything you've had your eye on that you need? Same with my brother. Oh, no, don't worry about it. Don't get me anything this year.
You know there's no way you can't get them anything.
It's like, I honestly, I think they wouldn't mind it so much, but it's like, oh, save your money, honey. It's like, what do you want?
I hope you're right about that, because there are people that say, don't get me anything, and then get mad when you don't. Those kind of people, by the way, really should be just a death penalty for those people.
Wow. I think our family likes to give gifts more than they like to receive, because we get really awkward when we get gifts.
Well, it's fun watching the reaction of somebody when you get them something.
Yeah.
That is a fun experience.
But there is a cycle. You know, giving and receiving, it's, you got, and that's the thing. You know, they've got to also make it so that you can feel good about, like, I want to get you something. Like, thank you, Michael Scott.
Hey, we got some texters on my side where Thanksgiving is the best holiday.
Yeah.
One person says, show me a better holiday than the day where you can eat great homemade food until we're all ridiculously full and watch football all day without anyone bitching at you for doing those things. No stress of gifts or crap like that, just food and football.
Yeah, but it's not great homemade food, though.
It is.
And I would much rather go to Sarah, taco time or something, Sarah, and get all about? That kind of food.
Sarah, Joey makes everything. Your mom makes stuff. I mean, and I make my special corn dish.
Oh, from the can.
He adds
a slab of butter.
I get the
corn in a bag.
I get the cream corn.
It's corn in a can.
And the corn in the bag and mix it. You just can't have cream corn by itself. You got to get regular corn, throw it in there, because then you cut it and it's not super sweet and super
gooey.
AF. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that's what I get on Thanksgiving.
That's a great dish.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
We make the stuffing.
Oh, there goes Uncle Chris agreeing with you again.
I have to sit there with her all day. Yeah, you know I'm going to agree.
Yeah, our stuffing has like celery in it. It's just, I don't understand.
Oh my God, God forbid it has celery in it.
It's great, a little crunch to it.
It's just not good. It's not good.
Most people think turkey is the same way you think of like pizza.
Well, then why don't they have it, like, once a week?
People have turkey more than once a year.
Please don't try to argue with my daughter. She's unarguable. You know, she really, I mean, she makes no sense, and yet she sounds like she does. You can't
win with
her. I just
think it gets played up way too much. All I know is that my Thanksgiving's going to rock more than all you guys's, because we're getting tamales. We're making them this weekend.
Ooh,
I can get on board with that.
Whatever, humble brag.
Yeah.
Can you overnight some in New Jersey?
I'll see what I can do. And to my house.
Awesome.
Are these turkey tamales?
Oh, they should be.
Yes.
Just to piss Sarah off.
I don't know about turkey tomato. I'm willing to try it, but...
Well, like, so a lot of the fillings is like chicken with like a nice salsa or pork.
Pork's the way to go.
Freaking any kind. My mom makes a chicken mole one. She makes a green one, red one.
Are they as good as Augustine's mom's?
Yeah, pretty darn close.
Damn.
Mm. You know,
Augustine's moms are good.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's his mom or his grandma, I can't remember. Yes. But either way, it's a
special person. Whoever it is, they're good.
Yes.
See, I'll go over
someone
to
with the mother in their title.
Yeah. Vicky, can you, any chance you can bring some tamales for us to Lisa, take with us? And
I don't know. Well, if Joe brings me some mac and cheese, I will bring you guys tamales.
Forget it.
You
don't forget it.
Oh, he's thinking about it.
No, he's not.
He's like, if he gets tamales, he might do it.
Oh, tamales. Look at us. We're
official. We're going to make tamales de guayaba.
What does that mean? You're going to make it while you're drunk?
Guava tamales. Sweet ones.
All right, fine.
Seriously, I figured Halloween would be Mig's favorite because of all the candy and being able to dress like he was when he was five and no one think that he's crazy. People still thought I was crazy.
That's going to be your second favorite holiday, right?
No, Christmas is second.
Oh, so you, all right. So
okay, at least
put
it's
Christmas
second.
Up there.
All right. Mm-hmm. All
right. So it's like a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then President's Day.
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday, Mr. President over here, he did get this one right.
Astronaut Edwin Aldrin is better known by what nickname?
Buzz.
Yes,
Buzz. Good old Buzz. You want a shot at beating Steve? All right, you got it. Call this number right now, 206-421-ROCK. You call that number, you get through. You're playing Beat Migs with us at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How do I know if bankruptcy is going to provide me with relief? What are the steps for my situation?
There's so much information out there about bankruptcy with the internet and what people have heard from friends and other people that they've talked to about their financial issues or bankruptcy. There's also a lot of bad information out there or urban legends about bankruptcy. In order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you need to talk to an attorney that's experienced in bankruptcy. So in order to determine whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, you should talk to an experienced bankruptcy attorney. And right, my job is not to convince you to file bankruptcy. My job is to help you to make that decision and have all the facts so that you can make an informed decision about whether bankruptcy makes sense for you, what benefits it's going to have for you, and what the downside of filing bankruptcy is.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com.